All right, we've got a great episode of Side Retired. It is Dylan and Nico as always, and today we're joined by a very special guest. So Nico, let's hit the intro music and get right into this. Hello and welcome to this edition of Side Retired. It's Dylan Campione, joined alongside Nico Fernandez as always. And Nico, before we introduce our guest, how you doing?
Doing well, bro. Excited. It's not very often that you get to talk to a general manager. So, very hyped for this one.
Absolutely. And today on the podcast, we are joined by the general manager of the Gastonia Honey Hunters, Brady Salisbury. Thanks so much for joining us and welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I'm really excited. I've heard a lot of good things and I'm ready to get going.
Absolutely. And of course, shout out to Coach Thompson of Georgetown. He is my coach. He was also with Brady at EKU and really excited to for him to have made that connection for us and really have a great episode for you guys planned talking about the independent leagues as well as some analytics. And I'm sure along the road, talk about Brady's baseball journey as well. But Brady, we love to introduce the podcast by just a pretty blanket statement. You can take it wherever you want to go. Describe the baseball journey of Brady Salisbury.
Yeah, so I mean, can't talk about my journey without Coach T. I mean, it started with him. He met him right before I actually started college at Eastern Kentucky University. He let me be a manager on the team. Actually, I started off just kind of doing like equipment, laundry, setting up practice, things like that. And a couple weeks into it, I kind of showed him my passion for analytics. And so shortly thereafter, I became the director of analytics. Went on to do that for 4 years. Spent a little bit of brief time with the Detroit Tigers down in Lakeland, working with their rookie ball teams the summer before my senior year. Of course, then COVID happened 2020, right whenever I graduated. So I ended up getting an internship with USA Baseball. They assigned me to the Burlington Sock Puppets of the Appalachian League. That was a lot of fun. And then shortly thereafter, here I am, assistant GM for 2 years for the Honey Hunters. And now I'm the general manager of the Gastonia Baseball Club. So we're excited.
That's awesome, bro. And what exactly got you into like baseball? Like, what was your story of maybe like getting into baseball? Did you maybe play when you're younger, or was it you got on the campus and you just liked baseball and analytics together?
Yeah, so it honestly happened at a very early age. I always loved baseball. It was my favorite sport. Played it all the way, through high school. For me, kind of started in middle school. It's when I first started getting into the analytics and the stats side of it, coming up with my own statistics. That's kind of when Moneyball kind of started becoming a thing later on in middle school, and that's when I really started getting into the sabermetrics, advanced analytics, a lot of those type things. Started once I got to later on high school, early college is when I started to actually develop my own statistics of my own. So that was it was pretty cool to like test those and see those work. And then even at EKU kind of test those and see if it worked at the collegiate level. So yeah, like it kind of started from it's funny, I don't like math, but I like baseball math. So it's kind of funny how that works out, the probability aspect. But no, it started definitely at an early age. I've always had a passion for it. And now I'm definitely thankful to get to do it, for a living.
Absolutely. And sort of following along that path, I know in baseball there seems to be these two different rivaling but also contributory effects of the analytics versus the eye test. And I think you definitely come from that analytics background, but definitely had a lot of experience being around a baseball team and have developed an eye for baseball. How do you view the blend of those two? Are they comparable? Can they coexist? What's the world of baseball and analytics?
Yeah, so definitely my background, I come more of the from the analytical or the modern side of baseball, I guess a lot of people would say, but you have to have both. It's funny, my current manager, our field manager, Goose Gazzo, 2 years ago when I first met him, the very first conversation we had, he was an old school guy, pitched in the 80s, 90s and the big leagues, kind of an old school way of thinking. I was like, listen, obviously I'm a little bit more modern than you. You're a little bit more old school, but if we're going to do well, we have to meet somewhere in the middle. And so far, you look at our success the last couple of years, that's what we've done as far as building the roster, managing lineups, managing bullpens. It's what we do. I'm going to bring more of the numbers, but he's obviously been around baseball longer than I've been alive. So he's going to know a lot of those gut feelings and also stuff that, numbers can't measure, as far as, a lot of guys say they got that dog in them, things like that. Like that's something you're never going to be able to quantify. So it's definitely cool being able to work together. But I think when you see two people meet in the middle and find that balance, you're going to see success, which thankfully we've had for 2 years together.
Yeah, absolutely. How was that journey from getting to obviously a data director, like data analytics at Eastern Kentucky, to now finally being like a general manager? I mean, for a lot of guys, that kind of would seem like almost inconceivable to be able to get that general manager position. How was that journey from you from getting from point A to point B?
Yeah, so I kind of knew later on my junior and senior years when Coach T kind of let me actually start working with a lot of our players, our position players specifically, one-on-one, looking at plate coverage, because I was behind home plate for every game my EKU career, charting every single pitch. And so junior, senior year, I would sit down with especially a lot of our veteran guys and be like, hey, we're looking at this is what you're typically getting, first pitch of the bat, or this is what you're getting with two strikes, all those type things. And I started to realize, like, I like that aspect of it, the player development kind of side. But what I really wanted to get into was, which in independent baseball is mainly player procurement. So what I love is building rosters. To me, it's like a puzzle. I don't know if you guys have ever played like out of the park baseball, but that was another one of those games that really got me and like fueled my passion for what I do now, because now I get to live that every day. And no, it's kind of funny. I mean, I graduated in 2020, so I remember sitting there, as juniors, seniors like you guys are, and it's like, man, like this is kind of what I want to do. And I got very fortunate that I got to do it as quickly as I did, for sure.
I think following up on what you just said, one of the interesting things about the independent leagues is that roster construction. You've guys that are coming right out of college and didn't get drafted. You guys that maybe made it to single A or double A and then teetered out. And then there's guys like I know shouting out friend of the podcast, Gabe Klobosits, that hopped on last week, former big leaguers that aren't in affiliated ball anymore and they just want to showcase their opportunity and they go to indie leagues. What is that process like? How do you balance those sort of three different young 20-year-olds coming out of college versus sometimes there's like 35-year-olds that are just hanging on to their career?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. That kind of, for me, honestly, when I got the job as the assistant GM for Gastonia, I didn't have much experience at all at independent baseball. Really didn't know what into it or what went into it, what players even played there. So it was really a crash course the first few weeks, because obviously it's not like I had contact where I could just call up former big leaguers and be like, hey, come play for us at Gastonia. So a lot of it was, building relationship with agents. Just to kind of build a contact, base. Now, like you said, we're building a team from anywhere from 23-year-olds all the way up to 35-year-olds that we had last year. It's definitely tough. I would say it's harder for, honestly, our coaching staff, because they're the ones that are honestly managing those guys, relationships and managing guys differently, because you can't be robotic and treat everybody the same. For me, what was interesting is when I first started signing guys, and even still now, when I first started, I was 24 years old. So a large majority of the guys I was hiring or signing were 28, 30, 32 years old. So there was a little bit of like, I had to gain their respect. And so, which rightfully so, it's kind of like being a, freshman on campus again. So it was definitely a kind of a cool, relationship that went on there. But no, like I said, it's definitely dynamic. Rosters change so much. We go through 50 or 60 players a season, and it's not like I, get a guy picked up, I can just call a A ball team, say, hey, send me up an arm, eat some innings. So it's definitely hard, a lot harder than people think.
Yeah, and going off of that, I mean, you mentioned a little bit that you were previously the assistant GM, now just got promoted to the GM. In the few short time that you've been here as the GM, kind of a difference, like how's that adjustment been from now being the top guy instead of being the assistant GM?
Yeah, so honestly, I was very appreciative that the general manager I had, David Martin, my first 2 years here as assistant GM, he really showed me the ropes and let me do a lot of things hands-on, to where now as the GM, like everything I've done at this point, like I've done before now. So honestly, granted, the season hasn't started, there's going to be a lot more day-to-day stuff that's going to be new to me from a stadium operations standpoint. But as far as baseball ops, off-season, building rosters, logistics, travel, all that fun stuff, it's definitely stuff that I've already kind of had hands on, so I'm comfortable. And so I owe a lot of that to David, for sure.
Absolutely. And obviously, I know you mentioned we were texting back and forth that there was a lot of press media stuff that you had to do to get ready for the new job. But now that we're starting to settle in, what do you think the day in the life is going to be like, whether it's in season or right before the season? How do you balance sort of what goes into your daily life?
Yeah, so we just announced a new ownership group in early February, Zoyer Sports. We're really excited about them, led by Andy Kaufman. They've got a really good track record of success managing teams. So we're really excited to, join that group. So really the biggest difference now between the last two off seasons is we're kind of starting like a whole brand new page, going from the Gastonia Honey Hunters to now the Gastonia Baseball Club with new ownership. There's just so much logistics that goes into making a season happen. And that's just from a baseball standpoint. I mean, you're thinking about, housing, whether it's apartments and host families, visiting team hotels, you know, that team they're going to be staying at. There's so much that goes into it outside of the fun part of building the roster and thinking about wins and losses. To me, that's, it's funny when I go to sleep at night, like I don't ever really think about like, oh, you know, I hope I get this second baseman or I hope I get that pitcher, because, you know, luckily like those things just kind of happen, but we also put a lot of work into it. The things that keep me up at night is the, oh, like, you know, I hope we're able to get this furniture for that apartment, or I hope we're able to, you know, get that hotel at the right rate. So there's definitely a lot to be done. I mean, opening day is right around the corner, April 25th. So we still got some things to do, but I'm definitely optimistic about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched on it a little bit, but I think it'd be a little bit wrong of us to not give Coach T a shout out. I think he's been, again, very influential in like your career. How do you think your life, again, your career would be different if you didn't have Coach T to help you put you under your wing and just be able to develop into what you are now?
Yeah, so it's actually two parts that goes into that, because honestly, like a manager type situation, I didn't even know existed at EKU. My original plan was to go to Morehead State, which was our, you know, rival, funny enough, but, and just kind of go into, you know, whether it was a whole nother degree or whatever. But once I met Coach T, he was one that kind of showed me the possibilities with being a team manager. So that right away probably changed my, you know, entire career path right there. But then also just being with Coach T, like I said, I started as kind of an equipment manager doing, you know, clubhouse duties, practice duties, things like that, but then getting to do analytics. Not only on top of that, he also let me do like a lot of the logistics, like with hotels and, you know, anything that happened while we were on the road with food and things like that. So I literally got to experience so many different sides of baseball that I never would have, and probably a normal, you know, situation, especially early on, like there was only one or two of us managers doing most of those duties. So at, you know, at the time you definitely think, oh, like this is a lot, like this is tough. But like looking back at it, you're like, wow, like I'm glad I did those things, because now not only do I know how to do it, but now I also appreciate, you know, the people that do those for me now. So it was definitely very appreciative, Coach T.
Absolutely. And sort of, I've, funny enough, think of like hearing your story 4 years later. Now I know I'm with another student manager here at Georgetown, just watching him run around, get the food orders, make sure the laundry is taken care of. And it's all these different things that obviously up this year, I'd just been sort of our analytics guy that was behind the scenes, running the computer and would show up at home games. And then this year, now that I'm on the road with the team, really seeing, as you're mentioning, this nitty gritty that is part of a baseball program, but is not on the baseball field. And if they didn't happen, we wouldn't be winning on the baseball field. And there's sort of the behind the scenes that obviously you had in college, and now you're also experiencing running the whole show in Gastonia.
Yeah, no, but you said it spot on. It's funny. You know, like I said, with the whole wins and losses thing, like that's the fun part, but like there's so much other stuff behind the scenes that has to happen before you can even get to that. That's why, to me, it's always kind of been a relief. It's like once that first pitch happens, now you finally just get to like zone everything else for, you know, zone out for 2, 3, 4 hours. So no, it's, you're spot on with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, Nico.
Yeah. Just the thing that I wanted to ask was, obviously a lot of people, they don't really hear about a lot about independent baseball. To be honest, I don't think most people know their AAA baseball team or their favorite team. What's kind of like a misconception that people have about independent baseball and maybe even minor leagues that they just don't really understand?
Yeah, no, indie ball definitely has a bad rap. I mean, even going into it, like I heard a lot of bad things surrounding it, but I think it definitely depends on the place. You know, I can only really speak on Gastonia because that's where I've been my whole career, but you know, if you do things the right way, it's honestly a good situation. It's funny. The 2 years I've been here, I think we've had somewhere between 15 to 20 former big leaguers. So those guys come in, they're thinking, oh, like, you know, this is going to be awful. And then they look around, it's like, okay, like the housing's really not bad. You know, obviously we're not making a crazy wage, but it's livable considering the circumstances. You know, the things we have at the park, you know, the clubhouse, the gym, you know, whatever it may be. It's like, okay, like this is stuff I had in the minor leagues too. So it's really not that like a drop off. The stadium, brand new, built in 2021. So you see a lot of these things like, okay, like it's still baseball. You know what I mean? Like there's, it's really not like you're going out and you're going back to rookie ball or anything like that. And the big factor too, you know, for us, we put a lot of emphasis is the clubhouse aspect, you know, the guys that are in there. Cause at the end of the day, you know, like Gabe kind of said, like those guys want affiliated opportunities, and I completely get it. And I respect it 100%. So when you have guys that are like bad apples, you know, in your clubhouse, making the experience bad for everybody else, you got to get them out of there as quickly as possible. Because like I said, we really pride ourselves on having a quality group of guys. And through 2 years, we've done that, and it's shown in different ways, but it's definitely not as bad as everybody makes it out to be. That's for sure.
And I know we had one of the former coaches for the Missoula Paddleheads, another indie ball team. And he said his two goals as a coach, I believe he's moved on to other things at this point, but when he was with them, he said he wanted to A, win ball games, because obviously life is more fun when you're winning games. And I know that from being with the Georgetown team, that the environment is a lot more fun when we're winning games. But he said the second is to get guys to affiliated baseball, and that he said it's not even just a personal goal. That's more just like a, when you're succeeding, the teams will naturally come calling for the guys. So whether it is just on an individual, hey, our guy just chucked eight innings of no run baseball, there he goes to affiliate ball, but the team's also really happy for him at the same time.
100%. You know, I've seen it the last 2 years. We've not only led the country in wins, but we've also led the country in guys getting picked up, which, like he, you know, the guy with Missoula said, like, that's my two biggest goals for our team. You know, having 28 guys get a chance, whether it's a second chance at affiliated ball or maybe their first chance. I mean, we've actually had two or three guys that never had affiliated ball prior, you know, to playing for Gastonia. Now they're double A, triple A for, you know, minor league teams. So it's an awesome experience. You definitely see how hard, like, they work to get it. And you're so happy for them when they earn it. And for me, obviously, you know, it's hard filling their spot on a roster when you lose a quality guy. But at the end of the day, I'm so happy for these guys because I know the kind of work they put in and day out. And at the end of the day, it's why I do what I do. I mean, it makes the effort that I put in worth it as well. So you're 100% correct.
Yeah, absolutely. If there was someone who, like, you know, sees your story and they're like, how the heck do I become like a GM or just get into baseball like that? Because again, a lot of people are coming from playing baseball and they kind of just stop their career and they really just don't know where to go. What advice would you give them to, like, kind of, again, get into those analytics and get into that different side of baseball?
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole cliche thing is, you know, get your foot in the door. And I mean, that's obviously the easy answer, but there's multiple ways to get in depending on what you're looking for. You know, for me, kind of being an analytical guy, like, honestly, I've never been super savvy with, like, the computer and the coding and that type of thing. Although that's definitely something I kind of view as my personal next step. But, you know, if you're good at that type of thing, like, there's definitely, you're going to have a market for that in professional baseball. Like, you know, every single team is looking for guys that can code and, you know, be on the computer side. But, you know, whether it's coaching, scouting, player development, like, there's so many different ways to get in. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of those start off with either internships or kind of entry level positions. But, you know, myself, that's kind of what it was, you know, being basically, you know, a scholarship guy at EKU doing that as a manager, you know, kind of getting a small couple month job with the Tigers to finish out a season and then an internship with USA Baseball. But now, thankfully, you know, 1-2 years later, here I am. So I can say, like, it's worth doing. It may not feel great at the time. It may feel like, oh, like, this is the job you have to do to get to the next job, but that's kind of what you got to do in most situations. So that's definitely what I would suggest. Be able to get hands-on experience in sports is the most crucial thing to getting a job in sports, for sure.
No, absolutely. I love that, because I know when Nico and I were doing a little homework beforehand, like we do with going through the LinkedIn and all that stuff, we saw a boatload of just these multiple really cool opportunities you've had, like with the Tigers, the Lexington Legends, Ripken Baseball. I know I saw the Tech Baseball in there that Coach T is still proudly running every weekend. I know we had those camps Sunday mornings here in Georgetown now, but no, it seems like you've had a lot, sort of like all these wide variety of different potential avenues that you've been exposed to, that I assume you take all these different experiences with you to Gastonia.
No, you have to. I think that kind of ties into it. You know, outside of probably COVID, you know, you look at kind of my track record on LinkedIn, I've tried to not be stagnant and, you know, and just kind of be sitting around, because, like I said, hands-on experience is so crucial in the sports industry, especially baseball. I mean, so much of, like, what people will base your knowledge off of is, you know, how long have you been in the sport? So, you know, as guys like yourselves and myself who were either in college or barely out of college, like, they may already shut you out before you even get a chance to talk. So the more experience, more hands-on experience you have, it definitely pays off in the long run.
So absolutely. So then following up on that, I know the future is always uncertain, but as you said, you bounced around a lot, but it seems like you found a home, at least for the past couple of years here in Gastonia. And I know we can't predict the future, but 5 years from now, do you think you're still here? Or where do you think the future for Brady Salisbury ends up at some point?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny. I think now is the first time, especially with this new ownership group, that I feel like there's going to be some true stability. So I could see myself doing this the rest of my life, honestly, as far as I enjoy doing what I do. But at the same time, I know growing up, kind of my goal was always affiliated ball, you know, hopefully working in a front office. Obviously, you know, as a 26-year-old, I'm not going to get a call to go to the Reds and be in their front office tomorrow and make decisions. But I think that's the goal I'm probably going to work towards internally, you know, whether it be with the software, whether it be with, you know, even learning another language. I think knowing Spanish is something too that's kind of on my mind, you know, whether I do end up working internationally, because Mexico also has a pretty good baseball league as well. So I think I've got a couple of different avenues I want to explore, but at this point, I'm definitely happy where I'm at. And I'm not going to complain. That's for sure.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, we have three fun questions tangential to baseball that we're going to throw at you here to wrap things up as sort of a fun way to conclude the show if you're game for them.
Yeah, let's do it.
The first one is your favorite baseball memory. It could be from EKU, could be from Gastonia, or anywhere in between. Just that whole moment where if all of a sudden someone wanted to say, why should I get into this baseball lifestyle, which we know is a grind at times, but what would be that one moment that you'd be like, this is why I do it?
Yeah. Oh, I think as far as recent memory, probably the first time, my first year as assistant GM, we clinched the playoffs the first half. So kind of quick recap how the Atlantic League works. It's broken into two halves. So you can either clinch the first half or second half by winning your division. And up to that point, Gastonia had never made the playoffs before. So my very first time ever being here, we won it in the first half. And I remember that last pitch, you know, when we clinched and everybody kind of like stormed the field and everything, like I'll never forget that feeling. I still actually have, they poured Gatorade on me and I still have the hat that was white. And now it's like an off red that I still hang up in my closet. And I'll never forget that. That's definitely a memory I'm going to hold on to the rest of my life for sure. It's just, if you think about all the work you put into it and then you finally get that outcome, there's nothing like it.
That's awesome. I mean, just the fact that it's like red stained is like, you never forget. That's great.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm looking at it right now. It's great.
Second question we got for you, either from when you played baseball, maybe high school, or even now, you may have heard it on like the loudspeakers. If you had to give yourself a walk-up song, what would you go with?
Ooh, so I had a couple in high school. Actually, my senior year, it was Frank Sinatra. I think it was Fly Me to the Moon was my walk-up. That was just kind of like, I thought it was like a little classier. You know, most of the guys were, don't get me wrong, I'm a big rap guy, you know, love all that. But I thought Frank Sinatra was just kind of like a classic walk-up, just kind of feel good about myself. And I'm sure Coach T probably told you, but I know one of his favorite walk-ups was by Outkast, I believe it was. Can't think of the song now. But anyways, I remember he would play that anytime when we were doing the Fall World Series and he was going out to do his pre-little visit. So no, there's some good ones out there, but Frank Sinatra was always a go-to for me.
What I'm starting to realize is a lot of EKU has come to Georgetown, whether it's the Fall World Series, tech baseball, data analytics. It seems like a lot of the stuff that obviously made you guys a great program has been transferred over and doing likewise over here. So
fun
behind the curtain view that I'm getting.
Yeah, no, it definitely looks like he's just kind of, you know, copy and pasted, and he's already got success over at Georgetown. And the song was so fresh, so clean. That was the song he always made for him. Just popped in my head. Yeah, that's a good one. I wish I knew that one in high school because that would have been my song.
I don't think I've heard that here played. So I'm going to all of a sudden, when I'm controlling the audio Friday, as the guys are running out into the field, all of a sudden that plays and we'll see if all of a sudden
he'll turn around and point up at you. That was the great time I played that. He was always just acknowledge it and appreciate it. So that's a good one. That'll give you some bonus points.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the last question we have for you is sort of in appreciation for hopping on the podcast. We let our guests dictate a little bit of the future. And if you'd like to shout out someone from maybe your baseball journey, Gastonia, or anywhere else that you think would be a cool next person to have on the show, just like T almost said that you'd be the next guy he'd nominate.
Well, it's funny, kind of like my counterpart at EKU, he was a fellow manager and he was actually my roommate at the time too, Bo Gann. He was the director of operations, I believe, for EKU while I was there. And then even after, I know he always had a really good relationship with Coach T. I think he actually lives somewhat close to you guys, actually, in the Arlington area. But I think he'd definitely be somebody that could give you like a whole other perspective on the baseball side, especially the kind of the business side of things that I always tried to steer clear of in college. But again, it's one of those things that you have to have it if you're going to be successful. So that could be a cool guy to talk to.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Well, Nico, unless you've got anything else to throw in, this has been a blast getting to hear about your journey, Brady. I know opening day is right around the corner. You're going to blink and it's going to be here. And we look forward to seeing all the success. And thanks again so much for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. Nico, we all good to go?
Yeah, good to go. Just thank you for coming on. Good luck to Gastonia. Hopefully you guys have a good year.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Looking forward to following you guys and checking out some more podcasts.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So for Dylan, Nico, and Brady, until the next time, the side is retired.